Your Bibles tonight, if you would please, and open up to 1 Thessalonians and chapter number 2 this evening. 1 Thessalonians and chapter number 2 tonight. And I do appreciate, I think it was Miss Nicole that put together this praying for the generation next. And I know there's a lot of names on here, but as we're talking about this past Sunday night, I love and praise the Lord that we have this many kids and teenagers running around the church. And let's take this, and we may not know all of them, and some of them may be a little bit hard to pronounce, but let's take this and maybe just 5 or 10 a day and pray through this list as we do oftentimes with our missionaries and as we do with others that are on the prayer chain. And let's just be continuing to pray for each other. And a lot going on here at Cross Point Baptist Church. And we're just excited that God has given and entrusted us with young kids and teenagers and young adults. And we want to continue to invest in their life. We're looking at over the last several weeks, part 9 of this series, an in-depth study of 1 Thessalonians, and we've been looking at the example church. We find our place here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, so would you please stand with me, and I believe this was said earlier, but as we have several visitors here with us tonight, welcome to Cross Point Baptist Church on a Wednesday night, and we kind of dive in and get some teaching and a little bit in-depth study here of this book in a verse-by-verse context, but we just want to tell you thank you so much for choosing Cross Point Baptist on a night that really it is pretty disastrous outside. I was a little bit late getting inside here, but I think Pastor Chris said something about it. It is pretty wet, there's no doubt, but I'm so glad that you're here. We're going to have a wonderful time in the Word of God this evening. And let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Would you look with me at verse number 4? Verse number 4 here of this passage of Scripture, the Bible says this: "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." This evening, I want to once again look at the subject tonight of strong ministers. Strong ministers. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, that we can once again gather it here, gather in your word. I ask, Savior, that you would move and that you would guide and you would direct. Father, it would be unusual to have someone who is not saved in here on a Wednesday night. But Father, you know our hearts. Lord, I ask that if there be one here that does not know you, that tonight would be the night they see their need of a Savior. Father, I comprehend very well. On a Wednesday night, we are tired, we come in. And Father, it's just been a long day. It's dark outside. It's raining, which puts us in kind of a sleepy mode. But God, I ask that you'd allow us to be awake in your word this evening. Father, I ask if we have not prayed that we'd pray right now. God, give me something. Father, give us something this evening that we could take home, take in the car to work tomorrow. For those moms that are at home, the dads, maybe the single parent. Father, the grandparent, a great-grandparent that's in this room tonight. Lord, you know what our needs are. Now meet those needs through your word this evening. I cannot do that, but Father, your word can. And I ask, Savior, as it's delivered tonight, that it would be exactly what we need. Savior, we love you. In your son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we began last week to really set this foundation of strong ministers, we really began in verse number 1 in looking at his message. Paul's message, as he begins to write here, we see this very strong message that came out. Look at verse number 1 with me as the Bible says this: "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain." You see, as we begin to lay this foundation last week, there were some accusations that are being made against the Apostle Paul. And he begins to deal with these accusations and begins to encourage these people that this letter is being written to. You see, Paul had these accusations that the ministry that Paul had was in vain. You see, the word vain here means empty or ineffective, fruitless. And Paul reminds him that his ministry among them was not empty at all. It was not fruitless at all. In fact, at a great scale, people had been ministered to. They accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They had experienced that genuine conversion in their lives. And now they were living for Christ. And not only are they living for Christ, but they're living for Christ in very difficult circumstances under the scrutiny that they were under at this time, this persecution that was upon these early churches. Therefore, the charge that his ministry was empty and or fruitless really was just totally false. God had his hand a blessing upon the ministry. And perhaps maybe there were those that began to bring Paul under this scrutiny because maybe it was not as fruitful as some of the other apostles. And maybe there was a comparative mindset that began to take place in the ministry. And we even made application this past week that oftentimes living in 2021 is not always easy on a youth pastor or on an assistant pastor or on a pastor and or even on a missionary that always we're seeing broadcast out there on social media. Hey, we have 15 baptized and we had 30 come to the Lord, and hey, we're busting out walls and we're growing here and we bought 4 more buses. And oftentimes in the life of a pastor, a minister, they can see that and those discouraging thoughts begin to come to their mind of, God, why is your hand of blessing not upon our church? Or God, why aren't you moving here in this part of the world? Or this comparative mindset is very dangerous. But what we see and have to comprehend is that every ministry, when we put God first, God is going to give the increase. It's not for you and I to sit back and to live in this comparative mindset. They have a better building, or they have more buses, or they've got more people in their orchestra, or their pastor's more dynamic, or they have better singers, or they have more people joining. Comprehend, understand, you and I just have to put our hand to the plow. You and I have to comprehend that this is our mission field. Indianapolis and the surrounding area is the area that God gave us to minister to and to win to Him, and we're going to put our hand to plow, and let's not have a comparative mindset. If that makes sense tonight, would you say amen? I want to make sure that you're with me tonight and comprehend that we've got to be busy, no doubt. And we can't be apathetic or lazy or set back and, oh, woe is me. Oh, I wish we were like so-and-so. No, we've got a job to do. But you and I can't live in this mindset that the church down the street has 4,000. Over here, they took on 18 more missionaries. And my goodness, their budget's 18,000 or 18 million and blah, 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 and so on and so forth. Look, God's given us a ministry. God has given us a mission field. You and I have got to keep our eyes on the prize, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And let God give us the fruit. Let God give us the increase. Look at verse number 2. It says this. But even after that, we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much, now watch, with much contention. You see, the strong pastor preaches boldly even when there is opposition. We saw this last week. I'm going to move it quickly. We got some really cool ground to some territory to dive into tonight. But watch very carefully. There's opposition that is often going to come to anything where God is blessing and where God's hand is moving. And we understand, and these people understood, that Paul, before he came to this city, before Paul had launched really this new mission here in Thessalonica, he had been in Philippi. And because of opposition, and because really some men gathered together, and then they got other groups of people, he was kicked out of Philippi. But what I love about this passage of Scripture is that Paul was not discouraged. Paul did not give up on ministry. It's not that Paul said, well, I know I'm done, and that's it, and well, God, I gave you a shot, now it's over. No, Paul continued to move. Paul continued to be used in a great way. The point is this. A true and strong minister knows that God has called him to preach, and he's been called to preach boldly. And there's many things that a pastor does. He wears many hats. But ultimately, the calling upon a pastor's life is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he is to preach that gospel with boldness. The word bold means to speak boldly. Now watch very carefully. Don't tune out here. Boldly or freely. To speak out and to speak publicly without fear. Now, did you catch that? Look, look, look. in our English language, it means, the word bold, to speak boldly and freely, to speak out, and to speak publicly without fear. You see, as we saw last week, too many Christians fail to witness because they're afraid of ridicule or embarrassment or mockery or perhaps even persecution. They're secret believers of Christ instead of being bold in their witness. May you and I listen now very carefully. In the dispensational age that you and I live in the great falling away where God could come back at any moment, I understand and I fully comprehend what is taking place in America. I'm not ignorant. My head is not in the sand. I read the news. I tune in. I try to stay up to date locally what's happening with politics and what's taking place. But friend, with all the opinions out there and with everything that's taking place in our nation, this is not a time to cower. This is not a time to hide. This is not a time to live in fear. If you agree with that, say amen tonight. This is a time to be bold in our witness. This is a time more than ever, no matter what coronavirus is doing, this is a time more than ever to be a witness on social media, whether Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or Twitter. This is a time to take tracks and pick up gospel tracks that are in the back. And look, I said it several weeks ago. I'm just telling you, people really are not afraid to take a gospel track. My kids give them out. I don't believe we've been rejected at all, handed these out. And to be honest with you, if you've seen, we're painting everywhere. I'm about to move those track racks back here, as you've seen, and we're going to call this our missions corner, our missions, all of our missionaries off the wall that only you in this corner see. We put in the bags so that we can keep up to date and see our missionaries and get back there. And then we're going to put our track racks back there so that it's this missions corner and you can get back there and grab these, and on your way out, head back to the missions corner, pick up some tracks, and get back there. And what are we doing? We are being bold in our witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, watch very carefully. I have not been on social media today, so if something was posted, and you say, well, boy, pastor's really jumping on them, I can assure you that I'm not jumping on you at all. But I did hear this great quote this past week by Dr. John O'Malley, and I thought it really was a home run. Listen to it very carefully. If you speak more of your social and political views than you present the gospel, you are not making America great again, you're making it worse. Excuse me, friend. If you speak more of your social and political views than you present the gospel, you are not making America great again, you are making it worse. You say, Pastor, I don't agree with that statement. Look. It's not the Bible. What I'm saying is this. You and I were commissioned to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out. Matthew 28 was given to you and I. We were not commissioned to fight whether this or this, or my view on this, or my view on this, or whether it's this. And I can name 50 things tonight that everybody's arguing about. Friend, may I put it this way? We ought to put the silliness aside, get back to the commission of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is coming back, and I am fearful that the churches in the United States of America are going to be embarrassed at the silliness that we're fighting over. Meanwhile, people are dying and going to a place called hell, and we're cowered down, worried about this and worried about, oh, and look, again, I can name 50 things, and y'all know what I would say, so I'm just not going to go there because, again, we got some really good territory to get in here in a moment, but comprehend, he was bold in his witness. I preached our teenagers hard Sunday night. And I hope nobody went home mad because I've got 5 kids I'm raising my own, and I'm preaching to me and Carrie and our kids just as much am anyone in this church. Let me put it this way. But if our teenagers are going to be bold, it better start right here in this room. How dare us? Yeah, that's right. Get them, preacher. Sick them, preacher. Get that next generation. Lazy, apathetic, all glued to their phones. And boy, they don't sing out in church. Let me just put it this way. If you and I aren't singing out in church, how dare us get on to the next generation about singing? If you and I aren't witnessing, how dare us get on to the next generation about witnessing? If we're not holding the banner high, God forbid we be those hypocrites that are on to the next generation about holding the banner high. Somebody help me out with an amen tonight. may it start in this room with us. Yeah, we want the next generation to do great things. But I mean, I don't want to burst your bubble. But friend, the next generation may not be on this earth. God could come back. Therefore, you and I have got to be bold. Look at verse number 3. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. You see, the strong pastor preaches a pure gospel. The word deceit in our English language means this, error. Paul did not add nor take away from the word of God. He did not attempt to just please everyone in his preaching, only to maybe preach the subjects that they liked. He did not neglect the whole counsel of God's word. Paul preached a pure gospel, the pure word of God. You and I, listen, and I said it last week, and this is where we ended last week. We have no right to add to and or to take away what God's word has said. Thank you, Jim. I guess you and I are the only ones that agree that. How many believe we have a perfect word? Say amen. It's complete. Say amen. I believe that. I believe the 66 books in this word is pure, it's tried, it's tested, it's true, it's of God, it is alive tonight, friend. No other book can claim that. But this book, you read it, you get in it, it is alive. It's alive. How dare us think we know more than God? And well, let's take this verse, twist it here. Let's move this. Let's add to it. I didn't really mean for us. Let's take it out. Look, this is not a buffet. This is our meal. This is the bread of God. This friend, is water that we'll never thirst again. This is everything that you and I need to get us through this life spiritually. Paul said, I'm going to preach it to you. I'm going to preach the pure, not deceitful, but also a strong minister lives a pure and clean life. Look at this verse. It says this, for our exhortation was not of deceit nor of uncleanness. You see, this word here, this we know what clean is, but what about unclean? Has to do, now listen very carefully, with moral uncleanness or impurity. You see, Paul was most likely being charged with immorality. You see, commentators state that at this time, this would not be a big surprise for him to be accused of this. In fact, it was A.T. Robertson that points out, and I quote, that this may be startling to think that the Apostle Paul was accused of immorality. However, such an accusation was not to be unexpected because of the immoral society of the day. A society so immoral that it had permeated some of the very religions of that day. Paul clearly, listen now, Paul clearly says that he was not guilty. He did not live this life in an unclean manner. So first of all, we must think about this. Some believers, including pastors and ministers and youth pastors and laymen alike, have rumors spread about them. Rumors, of course, damage and hurt the testimony of this man or the testimony of even maybe a man's wife. These rumors that go around, they damage the testimony of those that are in ministry. But most tragic of all, rumors also affect the name of Christ. And at times, it will turn people away from the gospel and their chance for ever being reached with the gospel of Jesus. You see, gossip, listen very carefully, gossip ruins lives. Gossip is not something that I myself or any person in this room ought to indulge themselves in. In fact, I almost had a rule. Carrie, you remember this. I was young in ministry. I had to start figuring things out. Praise the Lord, I had a pastor to follow, an older pastor like you. He's about 82 that really mentored me in my younger years. But, man, I kept having people constantly. That Brother Fisher, they would constantly say this. Well, people have been talking. And at first I was like, oh, my goodness. Pastor Foe, people been talking? Yeah, people been talking. Here's what they're saying. You know, you move those mission boards to the back, and people been talking.
I'm like, oh, wow, man, I said, this is horrible. This is bad. Break out in hives up all night. Oh, my goodness, the church hates me. I'm going to get kicked out. I moved the mission boards to the back. Nobody said anything except for one man, Gary, in the sound booth, and he was joking around about it. Nonetheless, and he's laughing now, but he's giving me a hard time about it. But nonetheless, I would get all worried and upset and all. And then all of a sudden, I start realizing, what even people been talking? So somebody would come up, oh, Pastor, you know, people I've been talking, I'd say, oh, well, who was talking? Well, you know, people weren't talking. They were talking. Yeah. They were gossiping. Well, I mean, it was a little birdie, and you know, that little birdie. Well, I used it before, but I was like, would you just get a little gun, little BB gun, just shoot that little birdie right out of the sky. Stop listening to it. Call PETA later, but nonetheless, get rid of little birdie. Because I tell you one thing, the mouth, James says, the mouth is little. But I'm telling you, it can start a fire with just a little spark. Well, did you hear insinuation? Well, I mean, did they really? Did I, you know, I'm not sure. Word on the street has it. Little birdie told me. You know, people been talking. Let me tell you something, friend. That is ungodly. It hurts people. It hurts testimonies. And people will be in hell for all of eternity because someone insinuated something on Facebook or somebody called somebody else or somebody shot off a little email and didn't have all the facts. Let me just put it this way. In the Gospels, it's very clear that if you have aught or you have something to say about someone, you are not to go to other people, but the Bible says you are to go to that person. You know why? Because God in his foreknowledge understood that human beings are human beings and that from Genesis 3 when the serpent stepped on the scene, yea, hath God said, a little twist here, a little twist there, a little conversation here, a little conversation there, and that's all it took was a little conversation. And we are in the mess that we're in today. Why? Because one man's sin entered into the world and it started with the tongue, my friend. Six things that the Lord hates, yet seven are an abomination. Go check out how many have to do with the mouth. It hurts people. And us getting in, you say, man, Pastor, what's going on? This is getting uncovered. We have visitors here. Woo, there must be a lot of gossip going on. No, friends, to be honest, I haven't heard anything. Sometimes the pastor's the last to find out, you know, but we've been there, have we not? But nonetheless, I'm not hearing anything. I'm just saying this. You can't jump around it. Paul's having to defend himself. I'm not living an immoral life. It's not unclean. Now, we comprehend that at times gossip is spread, but I would like to put it this way. Listen very carefully. Some believers, including ministers and pastors, laymen alike, do fall in and commit immorality. Can I put it this way? This hurts so many in the ministry. It hurts the next generation. It hurts people around the globe. And maybe we've gone through before, and some of you who went through the hippie movement of the 70s, I would think that maybe you would kind of comprehend that sexual immorality. We'll have our young people in here tonight, so I'm just going to be a little bit more frank if you'd allow me to. And if you're watching live stream, I'm not going to apologize. I'm just going to preach it. But I think maybe you understand the sexual impurity that took place, but we are today, friend, 2021, we are seeing it on a large scale. We are seeing men fall out of the pulpits. We are seeing missionaries come off the field. We are seeing, without a doubt, it's just so hard to comprehend how we are talking about the absolute silly things and arguing over the most minute things that do not matter on this earth, and yet our youth groups are full of pornography. Our pastors in the pulpits are falling for immorality, and they're diving into the sin, and then there's cover-ups that are taking place. And I mean, on a wide scale, friend, we are just seeing this sin that is taking place, and it is hurting the cause of Jesus Christ. It's hurting it. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil, for the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and your soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 11, dear beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, I'm begging, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. That means this, friend, the Bible has already given us the warnings. Take heed, watch out, be careful. That means this. I just want to talk to the men tonight. Men, I was being careful the other day when our teenagers were in here, but I'm just going to put it this way. We have 70%, upwards of 70% of men in local churches today are looking at pornography at least once a week. I'm just here to tell you, I'm not talking about the lost world. I'm talking about men who know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and are jumping on, and it's destroying the minds today, friend. It's destroying it. If you have a wife in here tonight, I'm talking to myself, keep your eyes on the prize. What's the prize? It's your wife. That's who God has given to you. Number one, listen to this very carefully. The number one, without a doubt, the number one thing that young college Christian women would seek my wife about, the number one thing that they need to help with, number one, was pornography. Our girls, steeped in it, is rampant. And it's destroying marriages. It's destroying the next generation. For some of you have been in the ministry a long time, this might be a little bit of the flesh, and you just forgive me later, but I almost get tired in my spirit of friend after friend after friend after friend that I graduated from Bible college with, coming off the field, can't preach anymore, can't lead the music anymore, can't be a youth pastor anymore, can't be an assistant pastor anymore. Why? Time after time after time, immorality, pornography, cheating on their wife, this is one after another. I'm not talking now even two as of recently, the wives involved in immorality, the wives involved in pornography. Friend, I'm just going to put it this way, you and I are not above it. The Bible says, take heed lest ye fall. It's warning you and I. It is time, friend, that we stop being another stinking statistic and get our eyes on this word and get our eyes on our spouse and get away from the trash of this world. And we have got to get this in the minds of this next generation coming up. Friend, it used to be pornography was embarrassing. You had to go into a store and you had to buy it. And I'm even told there was even a time that even the drug stores and even the stores would put on the top shelf and they would put black over it and cover it. Now, friends, we don't live in that generation. It's applauded. It's welcomed. And it's taught in our public schools. What are we going to do? Oh, man, Pastor, this is awful. Oh, even so, Lord, quickly come. Let's just sit back and just prepare for Him coming. Yeah, let's prepare for Him coming. By starting to once again win people, Lord Jesus Christ. Get back to telling our kids truth. Warning them. Satan wants their mind. Satan wants their talents, their treasure. He wants their testimony. He wants their marriage. And he will not stop until he gets it. Isn't this wonderful tonight? Like nobody's smiling in here. It's like very awkward. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Friend, that means this. You don't have to get down depressed and be another statistic. No, we just got to get our minds in the Word of God, get our minds back on our marriages. If somebody, I'm just going to put it in here tonight, if you're having problems with pornography or you're having problems in your marriage, do not wait until it's too late. I don't care how embarrassing it may be or how prideful we may be in our heart. Friend, there are men in this very room and there are ladies in this room that we want to help you. We want to pray for you. We want to get you in godly counsel. And let me put it this way. This is not going to be one of those, I can't believe they've been looking at pornography. I can't believe they're having a marriage problem. No, friend, we're not going to gossip it and let the world know. We're going to rejoice with you that you can overcome this sin, that it's covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. And it is time right now, this day, to stop with that trash. Say, Pastor, you sound pretty passionate about it. I am, friend. Because we live in a generation, we live in a culture that people are okay with it. And what the world usually is okay with will sneak its way into the church. And what sneaks into the church will destroy it. It says this in verse number 3. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor in cleanness, nor in guile. Look at this word, guile. Guile means to deceive. To deceive. You see, a strong pastor does not deceive people. There is no deception about him at all. Why? Because Paul did not deceive the people by the life he lived. He did not preach one thing and then live another. He was not unclean, immoral, and dirty. No, he lived a pure, righteous life before God and before the people. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 6. But thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, that thou shalt be good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Titus chapter 1 and verse number 9, holding fast the faithful word as hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to conceive the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Titus 2 1. But speak thou the things, listen very carefully, but speak thou the things which become sound the doctrine. You know what this world needs? Watch very carefully. I am not by any means taking out of context what has been laid in a road before us. I am thankful for the fundamentals of the faith. You know that I believe the fundamentals of the Word of God. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe that Jesus Christ came. I believe that He died and that He rose again. I believe that you cannot lose your salvation. I believe that salvation is by faith, and so on and so on. If you believe that, are you with me tonight? Say amen. Okay, we're fundamentalists then. We believe the fundamentals of the faith. And I am thankful for those who have laid a foundation for us in the fundamentals. But watch very carefully. If we're not careful, there were some, and even of those of you of an older generation, Pastor Foe, you're with me on this, there are those that got off and got kind of, well, crooked when it came to the fundamentals and began to add to them. Until finally what you had, listen very carefully, finally what you had was very much exterior and not in here. It was all about, look at me and look at us, and we have the perfect marriage and the perfect kids, and, well, bless God, I carry a big King James Bible under my arm, and I've got my tie on, and everything's good and great. And God said in Ezekiel, but you're of dead man's bones. You're empty on the inside. You're whited unto sepulchre. You, friend, you may look good on the outside, and the phylacteries on the head, and the robes of purple. And you get up there and look at all the tithe I gave. And bless God, I'm like, this man, I can lift my arms to God and I can pray. Look, Pharisees, Pharisees exist even in 2021. What this Indianapolis area needs is people who are very real. Real. If you're saved tonight, say amen. But did you really get saved? Oh, yes, bless God, I really got saved. Okay, then comprehend that we've got to put off the old man and put on the new, and you and I still struggle with sin. I just can put it this way. I thank God for so many in this room that have been married for 50-plus years, but none of those that have been married for 50-plus years could say that you've had a perfect marriage. You have to say amen right there, okay? But there's not a perfect marriage in here. We all have arguments. You know what those teenagers need to see? Is men and women in this room that are real. Amen. Real. Last week, don't bring this up to my kids, but I got a little bit upset, Carrie. I'm so embarrassed, but I got a little bit upset with my kids, okay? It was just one of those nights. It was Wednesday night, and again, I always complain about 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. It's just tired. We come in, everybody's tired, and two people yawned, you know. You remember that whole thing. I'm still a little bit bitter about that, and I got your names written down, but I was a little bit upset, and I lost it a little bit on my kids coming to church. Not bad, you know. It was, decibels were a little bit louder than they should have been, and it wasn't their fault, but it was their fault, and I kind of went off on them for a little bit. And then I began to think about the gym coming in here, and I got to preach this message that I preached last week. Brother John, you guys comprehend this. And began to feel kind of bad. Like, what a hypocrite. Like, here I am, I'm going to get upset with my kids. I'm going to raise my voice just a little bit. And I'm being careful because I don't want anybody to call Child Protective Services. You know, it wasn't like that bad, but it was pretty close, you know what I'm saying? And I moved a little bit, and I got upset, and I'm thinking, man, what a hypocrite. So I bring all my kids in the office. My kids, you know, just want to tell you, I'm sorry. Dad lost it a little bit. I kind of got upset. And Carrie's over there in the corner, you know, smiling. She knows what's going on. I don't want to stay in the pulpit and be a hypocrite. But I told my kids, I got teared up, I got choked up, cried a little bit, and I said, I just want to tell you, Dad, sorry. I lost it. It was a mistake. You know, it's not you guys' fault. I've had a long day, bad day. I just want to tell you, I'm sorry. And that was all it took. Now, they all ran out of there. They probably, if I brought up time, they probably wouldn't even remember it. They're like, oh, okay, Dad, you know, and they head off to their little classes. But what I want to implant in my kids is that I'm not perfect. And this world needs to comprehend that we don't walk in here and we're all perfect. No, we're sinners saved by grace. Michelle, you've been recently saved, and I'm not going to put you on the spot, Michelle, but you're smiling back there. You know, Michelle came, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 weeks. And you were just filling us out. And she's watching. She was looking. I'm not putting words in her mouth, but I think she was looking to see, are these people real? Let me tell you something. This is not a cult. This is a local church of local believers that have been saved by grace. And she had to see, man, that these people are for real. And friend, let me help you out tonight. You're never going to be a perfect husband. You're never going to be a perfect mom. You said, Pastor, it's really great pep talk there. No, just hear me out. But we serve a perfect Savior. Yes, and that perfect Savior wants to splash himself through our lives to others. And what Indianapolis needs to see is not, well, bless God, I got a church on every corner. Yeah, we got churches on every corner, but are we reaching Indianapolis? What people need to see is this message is not our message. It's God's message. And that message lives through you and I. And what this world is looking for, it's this. It's real Christianity. It's real. I mean, it says every one of us, every one of us, we have a story to tell. Every one of us. Jim, I use you so often because you sit up front here and we work together every day. But Jim, let's be honest, like your testimony and my testimony are very different. They're very different. We know your testimony. Most people know my testimony, but they're different testimonies. You know what we have? We have Jesus Christ that worked in our life, and we've got to tell people those testimonies because our testimonies are going to reach different people. We can't stop. Brother Hildebrand? Saved? How long you been saved, Brother Hildebrand?
A year and a half.
Brother Hildebrand, I've been saved for 34 years. You've got a testimony that people need to hear. Not everybody grew up in church and went to patch club and youth camp. Not everybody's parents had them there. Three to thrive, baby, you know. You got strep throat? I don't care. Get in church. There's no mask back then, you know what I'm saying? You just went, spread everybody. Shepherd's kids got chicken pox. Oh, let's put all the other kids in there. Let's spread it around, get it over with for the year. That's the way we used to live. We lived on the edge, man. Billy Hildebrand got saved a year and a half ago. We both have a message. And that message is Jesus Christ. It's not about you and I. It's about Him. And it's pure and it's clean. But watch this. It's real. You know what's wrong with all other religions? You ready? It's fake. To them it might be real, but it's a facade. I don't know about y'all, but I'm not interested in a facade. I'm interested in Jesus. I don't know if you've seen around here, but we're just going to keep doing what we're doing. We're just going to keep moving forward. We're going to keep singing. We're going to keep preaching. We're going to keep exalting Him. Yeah, we're going to, my goodness, we're going to touch up paint. We're going to do this. We're going to repair the parking lot. But friend, we've got to be real and comprehend that the parking lot doesn't save people. Paint doesn't save people. Sure, it looks good, and we might get them in. The building looks up to date, and it looks like we've been stuck in 1975. But honestly, this is what's going to change people. Amen. It's His word. It's His message. You and I ought to strive this week to comprehend that, yes, we sin. For all sin and come short of the glory of God. There are none righteous. No, not one. But we serve a perfect Savior that wants to live through you and I, so that others, when they look at our lives, you ready for this? Single parents here, grandma, grandpa, you ready, dad, ready, mom, ready, husband, ready, wife. When they see us, they see something that is real. It's real. Now, let me say this. It's 3 minutes. If you say, Pastor, you're going really long on this point, it's because I don't want to go to the next point because we have 3 minutes. We're supposed to be out of church. And if I start the next point, we're going to be for 15 minutes. So you take your pick. What would you rather have? That's what I thought. So let me just put it this way. In the world we live, this is not a political speech, but I'm just going to be real with you for a moment, okay? You can't trust or believe everything that the WHO says or the CDC says. How dare you? No. You can't trust everything that CNN says or Fox News or Newsmax, wherever you get your news from, ABC, CBS, do I have to keep going? you can't trust everything they say. They may think they're telling truth, but you understand it goes back and forth, back and forth. We have nurses in here tonight, Kendra. I'm sure if we ask you, you're in the health world every day. It changes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. We can't always trust what everybody's saying. Politically speaking, how many times have you voted for somebody that promised, oh, this is the truth. I promise you in Indianapolis and Avon, we're going to get done. We're going to accomplish. And 40 years later, they lied. Happens all the time. Do you know that this book has never lied? This book has never been wrong. It's 100% accurate, truthful, alive, inerrant, inspired. This Bible is truth. And the more that you and I are in it, the more we're going to be like it. And I'm telling you, Brother Brian, what people are looking for, Brother George, they're looking for something that is truth. Everybody is. I want to know. Look, I went through the coronavirus. I researched everything. Look, I lived on health.com and doctors.com, and you just name it. I was Googling like every single day. Am I dying? What's going on? You know, look, everything's changing. You can Google two or three pages, and it changes back and forth. But everybody's looking for truth. I don't care if you're Democrat, Republican. You're looking for a candidate that's going to tell the truth. Jesus is absolute truth. Jesus, the more we're around Him, is going to let His light shine through us. And what Avon and Hendricks County and Marion County and Indianapolis, what they need, what I'm telling you, friend, what they need is truth. What our teenagers need is someone who is real. Real with them.